Learning happens when all things come together in what can only be described as perfect chaos.
Hello, and welcome to the Perfect Chaos Podcast. It's Rhonda.
And David.
And together, we make up the Perfect Chaos team. Perfect Chaos not only represents how we started this, but also who we are. I'm an assistant professor of education at a local university, and David is a program director and professor at a nearby community college. Our backgrounds are diverse and range from sociology, criminal justice, fire, emergency medical services, emergency management, and together, education. And this all comes together into our perfect chaos. Have you ever experienced burnout? I'm pretty sure we all have at some point. Today, we're going to talk about a specific type of burnout that's been discussed by quite a few people in the past couple of years, tech burnout.
And we'll be right back with this discussion after these messages from our sponsor. We are
Rhonda
and David, and this is our Perfect Chaos. We're going to talk tonight about tech burnout, or really more specifically, avoiding the tech burnout.
Yes.
But we're talking more specifically about the classroom side, because we all know Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and TikTok.
Don't say something that's going to get us sued.
I'm just going to say are all designed to keep that burnout from happening. Like keep going, keep going, yes. keep scrolling. Designed to...
Yeah, because TikTok, that little guy comes up and he's like, hey, you've been scrolling way too long. And I'm just like, keep on scrolling because I don't need your judgment.
So, we're going to get into how to adapt that kind of environment in the classroom.
Yes.
The little guy that just pops up in the middle of the classroom goes, you've been scrolling for too long. Okay, not that part specifically, but...
I think that's a classroom management issue.
What, the guy just popping in? Mm-hmm. Does he get counted on the roll at that point? None?
No.
In higher ed, we can charge him
for that. Yeah, charge him tuition dollars. No, but I hope he has a visitor's pass. Otherwise, we're going to go into lockdown.
Ah, very true. Especially if he just randomly pops up.
If he randomly pops up in the middle of class.
So that would mean the teleportation has come about, which would be awesome.
You are so far off track tonight.
I am. But we're going to get into this topic more specifically. So first thing we have to do, as with everything, is to define.
You know, I do like a good definition.
Got to have a good definition. That's, you know, you can't do anything without a good definition. So let's start.
Okay, how do you define burnout? Oh, I got it in first.
Wow. I'm supposed to be the one. I've got the notes right here. See?
I wrote the notes. They're on my thing.
Everybody's going to be like, what are they doing? This would be one of the parts where we have...
No.
All right. So
Sylvia, leave us a voice message about the new sound effects.
All right. So how do I define burnout? You know, usually the simple way to define it is basically an overuse to the point of not using it anymore. So
I think I need that written down.
Overutilizing, so you don't...
That is not the word you just used.
What did I just use?
You said overuse to the point of not using it anymore.
No, overutilizing.
No, you didn't.
Hey, the good thing is this is recorded.
This is recorded, and we can go back.
But I said overutilize. Because
you said overuse.
So,
you said overuse.
Okay, so overuse or overutilization of technology to the point of not wanting to utilize it or not using it effectively after that.
Okay.
So yours is?
Well, I'm just defining burnout in general.
Okay.
Because if you look at your notes that I wrote, it doesn't say how do you define ed tech burnout. It says how do you define burnout.
Well then, so do like you're... Like we were going to have you do, and you were going to define this and not me. You changed it up. And so
I did change it up because I wanted people to hear what you had to say. This is my thing about burnout. I think it varies in how we define it based on the human. So if I wait until I get to a point that I don't want to do anything or don't want to do whatever it is anymore, I am so far past burnout that it's hard to ever get me back interested in it. So for me, because I tend to stay, as long as I'm seeing results, I can stay excited about it. I can be tired. I can have, you know, those days where it's like, oh, please snow, which it's not going to do this week because today it was 75 degrees.
It is supposed to be down to 47 by this weekend.
Well, apparently next week when B-Man is on spring break, it's supposed to snow.
Oh. It's just...
A school system told me that today when I was talking to them.
Ah, and I got that. Yes. So would you take that into consideration that there are stages then of burnout?
Absolutely. I think there's stages of burnout. And I think, and I guess, and this is the reason why I did switch it up on you and ask you first, is because I really, really, really think there is a difference in how we define it and in what it looks like. And I think we can overall define it as we've done something or we've used something so much that we're tired of it. That's burnout. But I think what that tired of it looks like, we have to start to acknowledge happens in different frameworks. So, I mean, if I wait until what most people consider burnout, if I wait until I'm to the point that, oh, I don't want to do this at all, I'll never go back to it. Right. I can remember having a job that we lived in the middle of, and you drove one way for 30 minutes and I drove the other way for 30 minutes and I drove down a very curvy road. Burnout, true burnout, waiting until that, what we typically think of was the day I was driving down through there and went, God, if I have a wreck today, I don't have to go to work. That's burnout.
Yeah.
That's perhaps not where we need to let ourselves get to.
Well,
and I think for me, I have to think about it that burnout starts before that. Burnout starts when I'm just like, I'm going and I'll make the most of my day, but I'm having a hard time getting motivated, not necessarily to do the thing, but maybe to create the thing. Right. So when I start going, oh, I've taught this before, I'll just use my lesson from last time. I don't want to look at it and make changes. That's when burnout's starting for me.
And, you know, as we were talking about in our last episode, you know, that's something that we do as far as giving out all of our materials. Right. You don't use it year after year. So what they get now may not be the same as they get in the future.
Right. So. But yeah, that's kind of my the thing that I look for with myself is when I start going, okay, I'm not even going to look at it. I know it works. It's the same lesson. I don't have to look back at my PowerPoints. When that starts becoming an option for me, I need to take a step back and evaluate what's really going on. 'Cause that's when I'm at, you know, there is that step past burnout, right? So what I consider burnout for me is what a lot of people consider the step past burnout. So I have to kind of back everything up a little bit. 'Cause I don't want to get to the step past burnout. That's a horrible, horrible place to be.
Step too far and got to get into mental health resilience after right. that. But that's exactly what we're dealing with here is a mental health concern. You know, so because once you do something, you get into a dark hole, then even the light looks dark.
Right.
And you can keep spiraling on that bad path. And that can lead to much even greater. That's not where we're going tonight. This isn't a mental health resilience topic. But
we may do that one day, for sure. But
absolutely
not tonight.
Not tonight.
But I do think this is, especially in education, this concept of burnout is very real. And I think that it does lead to mental health. And it, in my mind, and I have not run data to verify this, but in my mind, I think that if we went to teachers that are leaving, whether it's the P-12 system or the higher ed system, I think this concept of burnout, just, you know, you can only work so hard for so long.
Right.
And I think that this has a lot to do with it. Now, we're talking, or we're going to be talking kind of specifically about tech burnout. But I do think it's really, really important to know where you stand on the burnout scale. I do think it's a spectrum or a scale or, you know, range, whatever word we want to use for it. And to figure out, okay, how do I recognize and what am I going to stop? You know, and to know what kind of puts you there. Right. So, you know, I just said it's like been 75 degrees and gorgeous outside. We had a gorgeous weekend that we are both feeling the effects of. We're eventually going to put this thing on video, but it is not today because my face is purple. And David matches his shirt, which is very red.
Until tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine. I know. You'll turn into a tan and I will continue to be red.
So I think you make some very valid points there. And when we're doing this, and again, we're getting ready to pivot and talk about the ed tech portion of the in the stages of burnout. But, you know, when we're looking at this, we have to know, I think some of the things that you were saying is you need to know what your stages are.
Right.
So that you can identify. Because that's, you know, when you go into the, I'm thinking solely of the mental health aspects, and you have to notice when certain things are happening and what you can do to revert from that.
Right.
To keep from going right. to the next step. So let's head on. What leads, you know, you mentioned your drive. And the one, it's funny that I think this is the longest time in our life that at least one of us has worked in the town that we live in, because we have not really done that.
We really haven't.
I
have worked in the town that we live in since 2005. Not all at the same job.
Right.
But in this town since 2005.
Well, no, you had your time in.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. I had the ed tech, the instructional coach, and
your that high school position teaching.
In my high school teaching. You're right.
So there's a gap. But
there's a gap.
Yeah. But anyways, you're talking about driving down the road and driving down the road and driving down the road. And, you know, while this part wasn't, you know, what our area of where we live was known for, it was a really hefty two-lane road, basically, that had massive amounts of turns.
Right.
We both driven it quite a bit, but you obviously more than I did. And so that was your, literally, that led you to burnout. Now, what was on the other side also led to that.
Right. So and I honestly have not been back down that road since I left that job.
I think I've been down it once or twice.
I have not.
For random reasons, but literally that led you to burnout.
Right.
And now if the, on that one, the drive was your burnout, but if what's on the other side is greater than that, then you'll make it past it. And that wasn't. So let's talk about that. What leads to burnout?
I think there's a lot of different things that we can pinpoint. And again, it's all on this continuum. You know, I think any time where we jump, whether we jump or we're pushed head first into an I would say overabundance of one specific thing, I think that leads to burnout. Now, sometimes we jump willingly and sometimes we're pushed. I am a jumper. They have determined that at work. Myself and another faculty member, they have termed us the jumpers because they say something needs to be done and we're ready to just, okay, let's go. Let's do the thing and fix it. I'm a fixer, so that's kind of part of that jumper thing. But I think that's one aspect of when you're, especially if you're pushed into using something that you were not.
Right.
You know, it takes a little longer to get burnout if you chose it, but I think you still get burnout, even with things you choose. I think there has to be a healthy balance. And we tend to get, even when we choose it, Thank you, Daisy, for smacking the floor with your foot. Even when we choose something, we tend to get super excited about it and dive in head first. And then we go and go and go until all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't even want to hear about it anymore. You know, and I think that's a very valid piece that leads to burnout. I think a lot of times if we are doing something, even if it's a variety of things beyond what the norm is. Okay, so as an example, we have kind of laughed about it on the podcast. We've had like 2 flakes of snow this year. Now, granted,
we had a little bit more than that. Now, they didn't last more than 2 hours.
But yeah, granted, we do live in the South, so 2 flakes of snow is really all it takes.
It shuts us down.
It shuts us down. I don't need the judgment from those of you that live in the North. You have snow plows. We do not. But one thing that I have heard multiple times, and we have even talked about it at work, is this is the first time that I can remember ever going from the time we went back in January to spring break
with nothing,
with no snow days. Now, could we all use an extra day off? Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know of anybody in the world that if I looked at them and said, would you like to take an extra day off this week just to have a day off, that wouldn't be like, shoot, yeah, sign me up.
Right.
Right. So there is that. But I do think there is something to be said about, you know, our bodies, our minds, we get into this routine. And when that routine gets thrown, a lot of times that can lead to some burnout. Going to school for 2.5 months with no snow days, that can lead to some burnout. On the same vantage point, how many of us, by the time Christmas break is over, we are ready? The children need to go back to school. Right. We need to go back to work, right? I want everybody to think back during COVID. The Lord above did not intend for us to spend 24 hours a day with our families. That was not his intention. I am fairly certain. Because if that had been his intention, he would have just made me a serial killer instead. Because, you know, that was a lot.
Right.
It was a lot for us all to be cooped up in our houses with our family 24 a day. That was a burnout. You know, yes. You know, that's not what we're used to. It's a total different feel. And if you remember, even when we were home, we were all 4 home from March to May, felt way different than end of May till August felt.
Right.
And part of it was because when we hit the end of May, okay, now we're supposed to have the kids right at home because we're out of school.
Right.
So it at least our bodies were almost used to it. So I do think that change can lead to some burnout. I think when people feel undervalued or not valued at all or unheard, I think that leads to burnout. You know, when you have a concern and you go to the people you're supposed to go to and nothing is ever done about it, said about it, your concern does not appear to be valued.
Right.
I think that leads to burnout. You know, why am I going to put forth the extra effort to come to you if you're not even going to listen?
Right.
I think when people perceive injustice, it leads to burnout. I think when we see or hear the same things over and over and over and over and over again, it leads to burnout. You know, so
we can add physical factors into that, your sleep patterns, your eating patterns, your personal habits and how you...
Now, I don't talk about sleep patterns on here because I am not about to have that discussion because there is nothing I can teach anybody about sleeping better.
Well, but I'm just saying you had those on there. Now, one of the things that I think about when we're talking about these and going into that goes back to several different points.
If you say West Wing, I'm going to throw something at you.
The Big Bang Theory.
Okay, hot diggity.
With Sheldon Cooper. You know, I remember Graphene specifically, and I can't remember all of the past, but he is in there and he's got the stuff up on the board, and then he spreads marbles out, and then Leonard gets a phone call because Sheldon is in a ball pit and he's like going crazy.
Is that the same one when he has the fish and the eggs and the cats?
No.
Those are all different points, but they're all burnout.
But they are, you know, and
those are extreme cases of burnout. If you find yourself surrounded by 32 cats that you did not have yesterday, that is an extreme case. Yes. You need to call and get some help.
No, that's the one where he put the marbles on the floor and they walked in and they all fell down. And then, like I said, he ended up in the ball pit after that. And that's it. Like, he was so hyper focused on this that it created this negative environment that he was in. And that while he was making breakthroughs, it was something that he enjoyed, spent all of his time. He created a life around doing that.
Right.
And you still end up in burnout because he wasn't seeing the results that he wanted.
A lot of times when you ask people, you know, when they've finished their dissertation. And I mean, I can remember very vividly being told when I defended my dissertation, you need to turn this into articles. I was like, yeah, I don't want to look at it again.
It's like,
You know, and I loved my topic and I still love my topic and I still feel passionately about it, but I don't want to look back at my dissertation. Right. Done with that. You know, so I think, hyper-focusing on anything can lead to burnout.
So let's change this now to the overall topic. We've gotten quite a bit on burnout itself, and now let's get into the EdTech portion. And I've got a lot here as well, because I absolutely think, but I'm asking first, why are we experiencing tech burnout?
I think there's a twofold reason. I'll go with the very obvious reason first, which was COVID. When people got sent home, and then it was teach from home, teach online, do Zoom, Teams, Google Hangout, join me, meet, I don't care, whichever Skype, whichever one we want to talk about, I don't care. Teach through your computer. And it became really for a year and a half, that was where people were. You know, and I think that's the obvious one. That's an easy one to pinpoint and say, you know, if we want to talk about having something jammed down your throat that you were not ready to go to, that is it. And I'm not saying that ugly. I don't know what else there could have been done in education. I think we did the best we could.
And we're not talking about the environment that was, we're just talking about adapting to the environment that we were creating.
Right.
Created.
You know, but I think that was definitively, here, go teach online. I mean, I have said multiple times, I am a high school / college teacher. I don't teach the small children. My kids at school know that. They laugh about it. I've said multiple times, I don't even know how you begin to teach kindergarten on Zoom.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know. To the people that have done that, to the people that still do that, kudos, because I don't have the first clue how you do that. And I will be totally honest. And if you looked at me and said, go teach kindergarten on Zoom, I would experience burnout very, very quickly. And I think part of that burnout happened because we were no longer just teachers. We were teachers. We were tech support. We were, you know, I mean, it was just a lot. And it was black boxes. I can't even begin to, if I never see another black Zoom box, it's too soon. And I love Zoom. I love the things it gives us the ability to do.
Right.
But man, I hate teaching to 25 black boxes. It's so hard.
I don't sit still when I
don't either.
I don't at all, but I don't sit still when I teach. I walk, I can get like, I walk up to people and I walk around people.
I walk around the room.
And, you know, that, you know, so when I have to, you know, I was sitting in a chair and I actually got to the point on some of them that I put it up on her mantle.
Yes. That way so that you could stand.
Yeah. And so, you know, I take a look and COVID definitely, I think COVID was the driver. I don't think COVID was the driver for it. I think COVID was the accelerator for it.
Right. I think and we were headed there prior.
Right. And that's and that's where I'm going to go is, you know, we take a step back even before that. And even like at our institution, our Board of Regents of Systems Office developed an office of mobilization, and they were like, use tech, we'll buy it, just use it. Here's iPads, and you know, we get into some of the stuff that I ended up with, the Google Cardboard, the 360 cameras. It's like, just get it. Well, because the rate of proliferation of these devices were coming so rapidly, and they're like, well, if we're going to meet our students where they are, we've got to be in all this stuff. So use it. And there was no outcome or objectives to it. Right. It was, the outcome was you're using it.
Right. And well, and so, in the P-12 world, that even changed because it became part of the evaluations.
Right.
It was part of your evaluation. Are you using tech? You know, but
there really wasn't anything there. It was, are you using tech for tech's sake?
Or are we using tech because it enhances?
Oh. And that was the thing, is we were
pinch
pushing
poke,
all
you
this,
owe me a coat.
We were pushing all these things out so quickly and just say, here it is. And I mean, for the first time in P-12 world, they couldn't say we didn't have connectivity because you had wireless and you were given an iPad,
right,
and a MacBook and an iMac, and you know, you had all of this stuff.
Right.
And you know, so then we turn around and go into COVID. We got to use all this stuff. Well, then I think on top of that, we look at all of our personal use of devices. Right. And we see, you know, hey, everybody pull out. This would be a great voice message. Pull out your phones. Look at your screen time. Tell us how much you're on your phone or your devices regularly.
Right.
And so it's like everything we do is there. And well, so,
and it changed, you know, before that. And I will freely admit, I was never one of the, like, you get 30 minutes of screen time a day. I'm not going to say I'm a great parent. I will say I'm a very organic parent. We just go kind of with what's happening and what the needs of the day are. But I do think that after and kind of post-COVID, when we were talking about tech burnout, post-COVID, one of the things that happened was during that initial emergent COVID time, that was the only way we had to talk to people.
Right.
And to interact with people. And I think we then moved to a space where there were no boundaries because, you know, I mean, the good side of me will say, I didn't want my kids to not talk to their grandparents.
Right.
When they could. The bad mother says, if they weren't talking to somebody else on the phone, they were talking to me. And as I mentioned previously, I do not think the good Lord intended for us to all be together for 24 hours a day.
Right.
You know, and I mean, people can backlash all they want to on that. There is a reason God made us want to work.
Right.
We are truly not meant to all be in the same room together. And all, our house even revolted. So, I mean, that was kind of a thing. You know, but I think that's, we were in this space where you didn't really want to limit that because that was the primary, secondary, tertiary, however many area means, that was all we had. That was how we could communicate. And it was the only way we could see people without a mask.
Right.
So I think we became so dependent on it that then we lost sight of the boundaries that we did have prior to that.
Well, I remember when we first started here, we specifically said 5 o'clock, we were done. And then we would hear one of us would leave our computer on and you'd hear ding, like, hey, I'm going to go check this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then it became 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock and such. And, you know, again, that was that accelerator. And
right.
Everybody needed to have a meeting.
Right.
What, you know, for us, when we started to return to the classroom, we had to submit plans, and then we had to meet about the plans and how we were going to monitor and assess and do all that. And so then...
Well, and then it became easier just to stay out of the classroom.
Right.
I mean, if you had the option, I can remember very clearly sitting in a planning meeting, and we were talking about, okay, we've got to reconfigure all the rooms and make it to where the students are going to be 6 feet apart. So you may have to meet with one group of students on one day and one group of students the next class day and vice versa and trade them out. And somebody went, why can't I just stay on Zoom? That is so much easier than all this. And it is. Now, that's being said as somebody who was not a proponent of let's stay on Zoom. But yeah, no, that became.
Well, in ours, we were getting told, well, even in your labs, you can't get closer than 6 foot.
Right.
Like, they're going out on clinical rotations in the field with sick people. Mm-hmm. Some, if not all, have COVID, some stage or not, you know, so absolutely.
I mean, I think that there's a very real piece of that. And I think that it became used in our evaluations, you know, pre-COVID, then COVID, here, everybody go. This is the only way we can survive. And then post-COVID, and I don't even know if we're post-COVID, but that's what I'm going to use because I don't want to think that we're still in COVID.
We technically can be, or consider that because even the federal public health emergency declaration ends on May the 11th.
Well, so. There we go. So May the 12th will be post-COVID. That's what I hear you saying. But I mean, I think there's some very real, you know, we built this world where our friends were in our devices.
Right.
And then that was the only way we could talk to our friends and the only way we could do education. And then now we're still trying to recover from that and figure out how do we do this? And how do we do this well? And how do we do this without killing each other and without sitting on a screen 20 hours a day?
And I think in addition to that, taking a look at things a little bit differently is, you know, now, okay, outside of that, in our realm of devices now, I think the next aspect to that could be, okay, you told me I needed to utilize XYZ device.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've used XYZ device and I've taught it and coming up for the next semester and XYZ device that I just got good at and was able to teach and answer the question about is obsolete. And now we're right at XYZ squared, which while very similar to XYZ has a completely different operating system or
right
method. It works, you know, the,
I mean, we can go back to, well, I probably shouldn't.
It's
but Windows 98 to Windows Vista to Windows 10 to Windows. I mean,
you forgot Millennium Edition.
Oh, the Millennium Windows Edition. Me. Yeah, that's because
that was like 2 months old.
Used it.
And yes, but or you know, an iPhone with a headphone jack, and then an iPhone right without a headphone jack, and then
an iPhone with a different headphone jack with an adapter headphone.
Right. And so we take a look at that, and now we're in this environment where we're inundated personally. We've gone through this acceleration due to COVID, and now the tech world. I mean, I just got done with a book, and part of it was talking about that is like the acceleration of tech the acceleration of life now due to the, it's called The Future is Faster Than You Think. And it was talking about how things progressed and they got a little faster and now we're in this exponential growth curve. It's like, you know, as soon as you get something in your hand, it's already obsolete.
Right.
And so that acceleration is leading to the burnout because, hey, I'm great. I did great.
We don't ever get to get device comfortable in it.
Right. Because it's already gone to something else.
Right.
So
there's always an update. There's always a new version.
Yeah. So we talked about it a little bit earlier. How do we recognize burnout?
I think for me, the point at which I start going, again, I need to start taking a look. The point at which I quit wanting to learn more about what I'm doing, I need to take a look. Because that to me is when I start heading down that trail of burnout. And that could be anything. It could, you know, with tech, when I decide that, you know, I don't want to look and see if there's a different way to do it, I'll just keep on. Or, you know, one of the things that, you know, I don't use tech that's not free. Try really, really hard not to do that in my classes because I want my students to have access to things. But part of that, part of what goes with that is sometimes things are free one day and not the next.
Right.
You know, and I can remember at one point, and this was before COVID, but I can remember at one point I had just in one semester moved everything to this new format that I really, really liked. And the app I was using was free. And I sat down to start the spring semester, and now it was a paid app. And I went, fine, I'll just teach the way I used to. Okay, when I'm not willing to go, okay, this isn't going to work, so let me find something else. And I think for me it is, it's that when things start to get flippant, or right. Not that I don't care, but just that it's, okay, whatever.
That's so it's funny that you mentioned that because there's something I was looking at the other day and it's like, oh, the price is XYZ and it was high. But they're like, but the main part about it is not only do you want me to pay that, but you also just to use it, you want me to pay $10 a month forever.
Right.
And it's like, why? You know, you're already charging me X dollars for
right.
it. And now you're, because now it's like, oh, I can, if I give it a little bit of this, then I can make it pay this. And it's like, you know.
Right. I mean, and that to me is when I recognize that I'm headed yeah. down that path. And I hesitate to say when I don't care because I don't want that to be taken wrong. There's never a moment when I'm thinking about teaching and thinking about education that I don't care what my students are learning, and that I don't care about their success. That's not what I mean when I say I don't care. It's the point at which, you know what, this has worked fine in the past, I'll just do it again. That's what I mean. When I'm not striving for how can I make this better.
Right.
That's when I can recognize that I'm getting burned out.
And I think the better part to that is try to work out some of those indicators beforehand.
Right.
So that you kind of know, it's like, oh, hey, because this goes back to the whole analogy of, you know, we see our kids every day and so it's not until you see a picture from 6 months ago. You know, we see some of the pictures from Braden and Alyssa from just last year, 2 years ago. And it's like, wait a minute.
Right. It doesn't even look like the same people.
Doesn't look like the same people. But we've seen them every day. It looks like the same.
Right.
But a grandparent or somebody that's lived out of state comes into town, you know, just a month ago.
Right.
And they come back and say, oh, my gosh, you've grown like 3 inches.
And I think there's something very valid. You know, my tip last week was about thanking your people. Your people sometimes are the ones that are going to recognize you're burning
right.
out. Right. Before you will.
And
I think having those people and loving those people and honoring those people for what they are and being that person for others that can go up and go, hey, I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong. Tell me what's wrong.
And that's one of the things that I mentioned to my students on a regular basis. At the beginning of every semester, one of the things that I mention is somebody in here is going to have that call. And I'm talking about the clinical aspect. And at that point in time, I'm talking about the counselors that the college has on staff. And the counselors have a lot of different roles and responsibilities. But one of them is this, that, you know, I say, one of y'all is going to have that call. And that person is not going to really realize it until, because they're in that environment, whatever that is. For me, it was a three-month-old that we had in cardiac arrest. And that was when Alyssa was one. So like that.
Right. It was right there.
Right there. I mentioned it to everybody else. I said, you're going to see Johnny in class. Johnny may be the jokester. You know, every time he gets a chance, he tells a joke, you know, good joke, bad joke, whatever it is. One of my jokes.
That is not your joke. I think this is the button for your joke. Shouldn't have shown me the buttons.
Showed me the button, but this is what they really do.
No.
All right. So, but it's going to be everybody else in the class. They see that Johnny's not joking anymore. Johnny's there. He's a shell of a person.
Right.
He's in class, but you can tell he's really not in class. Or, you know, Johnny is normally the quiet and the reserved one, and now he's up disrupting. He's, you know, not focused, whatnot.
Right.
And those are the ones where you have to kind of go, hey, Johnny, what's wrong?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes they come out just, I had that call. And it's like, that's that burnout. That there's something there that has triggered those negative emotions, those negative responses in the body. And they've started you on the circling of the drain. And so you've got to figure out your ways to come back. So as you mentioned, when we get to some of those places, it's like, look, I don't want to deal with another operating system. I don't want to deal with having to make my students pay $29.95 a month for this app. I don't want them to have to buy into something new. I don't want them to have to, you know, pen and paper is always going to be around. We just go back to that and we'll be perfectly fine.
Right.
But that's not really doing them justice either.
No.
Because, okay, we're talking about high school students using computers and stuff like that. There's not many jobs that don't have computers these days.
Well, I mean, you know, take a look at
electricians and plumbers. When they come to your house, they go through this. I need you to sign this box and click, click, and they get their iPad.
You know, I always ask the question the first day of ed tech, what jobs can you do if you cannot work a computer? And they start throwing out jobs. And you could do the job, except that the application for the job is online.
Right.
And if you can manage to get a paper application and do the job, how are you going to bank? Where are you going to put your money? You know, I mean, there's just a lot to that. We're no longer in a world where digital is an option.
Side note there. Completely.
I have no clue what just happened, but he just got super excited about something.
You mentioned the banking side, and it's actually kind of interesting. I saw it when I went to Nashville last week, and I've read it since then. But the place we went to eat lunch had a sign that said, cash versus card. If you can pay cash, it's going to help us.
Right.
And reading now, and there's a lot of places like put down the card and draw cash.
Right.
Because $50, you know, I have.
And cash is $50.
And I hand it to you to, you know, pay for your services to build a website. And then you go on and then you're going to go buy groceries, which then go on to, it's like that's $50, that's $50, that's $50. But if I pay you $50 via debit card, between your fees, it comes $46. And so you take $46 and pass it on to somebody else via your card. And so, like, now that digital expansion, everybody's like, maybe it's not all it's cracked up to
be.
So that
you got super excited about that.
I did. It's kind of funny. Well, it was the fact that you mentioned the digital banking. And so, anyways.
What's the other button?
Which this one right here?
Uh-huh.
I could change them around too. I can actually tape clips of our voices.
No.
And put them on there. And so when you
okay,
go.
Next, bazinga. Next on the podcast is.
So what does that look like?
You totally skipped the question about how to find the happy medium between
all tech. I mentioned that.
No, we were just working on how do we recognize burnout.
No, I mentioned that. So you're going back to pen. Okay.
You did.
How do we find the happy medium between all tech and no tech?
Well, I'm going to throw this really crazy suggestion out there. Ask your students. They are supposedly the most digital generation we have ever had is in our classrooms right now. And you know what? Some of them are getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're overtaking,
Chances are
you are overtaking. If the tech is not engaging them, chances are you're overtaking. So I do think one of the ways that we can find a happy medium between all tech and no tech, because I don't think no tech is the answer, is to ask the people around us, ask the people that we're using the tech with. I'll be honest, I love a good PowerPoint. It keeps me on track. Now, we talked about this last time, that my PowerPoints are of no use to anybody but me. But I love them to keep me on track. But even I, at least once a month, will teach a class with no PowerPoint, no lecture notes, just teaching. And my students love it when we do that. And I know it because I ask them.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, no, it's kind of nice not to, like, to just think through something.
And if you really feel the need to use tech, create a survey, send it out to them.
Right.
And ask them if they want to use it or
and
not.
And by no means are we saying, I mean, you're talking to two techie people. We love to use tech. But I think there is a space for it. And I think there is also a space for having an option. You know, when I wrote my textbook, I wrote it as an ebook. And students kept coming up saying, I really would like to have it in print. So I went back to the publisher and said, can we offer it in print too? And they said, you want it in an ebook and in print? And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, well, that's what my students asked for. Then they have the option to do one or the other.
Right.
Right. That, to me, having that option will also help you with the burnout. But giving your students that option, if you give your students options and you start noticing that they're all choosing no tech consistently, you probably need to cut back. I think that's one of the ways to find the happy medium. I think another way to find the happy medium, and I'm saying this as somebody that doesn't do it very well, is to set boundaries. We cannot be on tech all day at work and then on our phones the whole way home. Of course, using, you know, AirPods and wireless devices, because we live in hands-free Tennessee. We cannot be distracted, which I think is good, by the way. I'm not saying that sarcastically, but, you know, people are on their phones all the way home. We use our phones. I mean, you go out to eat. The menu is on, scan the QR code on the table. You know, I think setting some boundaries. Recently, when I was in San Francisco for a conference, one of the places we went to eat, they said, the QR code is on the table. And I said, okay, but do you have a menu? Like, can I hold a menu? Now, that was probably a jerky thing for me to do, and I probably should not have done that. I wasn't mad. I just wanted to hold a menu.
Right.
But I do think there is something to
that.
I can
hardly ever find anything that I really want looking at it on my phone.
At a restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say, because you finding stuff you want all the time on your phone.
Yeah, but whenever I'm...
I mean, I'm real good at it. Me and Amazon are best friends.
Yes.
I know. You know that. Pretty sure the UPS man stops by every now and then just to be like, you okay?
Because I
don't have a delivery today.
But no, when it comes to food, like I
do have a hard time finding food on my phone for whatever reason. But I think that setting some boundaries is good. One of the great things about tech is it has given us access to people 24/7, which is great. You know, when you got kids and family members and people that are in different time zones or people that are ill or people that have amazing news, like at midnight. I mean, I'm pretty sure amazing news at midnight, somebody better be like getting married or having a baby or something. But, or, you know, Sakai Ziegler's ACL replaced itself. I'm good. That's a good phone call at midnight.
Going into the SEC tournament.
Going into the SEC tournament. That'd be awesome. But I do think the flip side of that is the bad part about all the technology is that we have access to people 24/7. Creating some boundaries, letting people know what those boundaries are. You know, as teachers, we have a certain amount of time each day that we're supposed to teach. And then we got to deal with the other stuff that we got to deal with. But I think there's still, you know, when we send notes home to parents in P-12 and send that first syllabus home, when I send stuff home with my college students, when I talk to them, you know, you might email me at 10 o'clock at night and might get a response that night. But don't expect one.
Right.
And I think setting those boundaries, modeling those boundaries, like, that's a big deal to avoid tech burnout. You know, put your phone down and eat. We don't need our phone to eat.
Using another television analogy, not from The West Wing again, but NCIS.
How did I know that was the show you were going to? And y'all, he only watches three shows.
No, I do not. There's a couple movies in there, too.
Yeah, those are not shows.
I hadn't really watched NCIS. Alyssa watching it today is probably the first time in a while. But Palmer was getting messages. I can't remember. I don't think he was married yet. And Ducky gives him this set, you know, well, if you spend all of your time talking now, what are you going to talk about when you get home?
Yeah. Is that why you don't talk to me during the day?
Well, usually whenever I'm available, you're in class, whatever.
I know,
you're,
right? That is the thing.
So, anyways. All right.
Today's podcast, you get a little bit about tech burnout, a little bit of marriage counseling.
And some sleep help.
And there's no sleep help. But we do have two amazingly cute dogs, one of which is currently keeping my toes warm.
And the other one you've heard barking a couple of times.
That's the big fight, fluffy one.
So,
who goes to training soon?
Yes, you're without her for 4 weeks.
I know, I'm very sad about that.
So, now that we're into the feels, let's go to the feel good tip of the week.
All right. So I'm giving you a non techie tip of the week. One of the classes that I teach that I love to teach is classroom management, and we spend a lot of time in there talking about functions of behavior and the why behind the behaviors that we see in our classroom. And so my tip of the week is when you're identifying those things that are happening in your classroom that are inappropriate or, quote, bad behaviors, a lot of times we try to stop those with consequences. And my tip of the week is maybe to start asking the question, why? Why did you do that? Or even better, what did you hope you were going to accomplish? And maybe start treating what's actually wrong, not just the symptom of what is wrong. You know, I liken it to, you know, you go to the doctor and you're like, man, I've been throwing up for 2 weeks. And they give you some Phenergan and say, go home and rest. And you go back to the doctor the next week and you're like, man, I'm still throwing up. You gave me Phenergan last week. And they're like, well, here, let's try Zofran this week. And so they give you some Zofran and you keep on throwing up and you go back in again and you're like, man, I'm still throwing up. And it turns out you're pregnant. You got morning sickness. We've treated a lot of symptoms, but we haven't actually gotten to why are you throwing up? You know, and I think sometimes in classroom management, we deal with the symptom, which is the inappropriate or bad or delinquent behavior, without digging down into why did you do this or what were you hoping to accomplish? And while I am all for, I mean, y'all, I talk criminal justice. I'm all for, like, actions have consequences and, you know, theories of deterrence, both general deterrence and specific deterrence. And we can go into restorative justice and restorative practices. Like, I can do that all day long. But I do think there is something valid in just asking a kid, what did you hope you were going to accomplish with this? Because what I have found is asking that question that way is no longer, why did you do this, which makes them defensive, and you're actually going to get to know a little bit more about that kid. And what I have found is that sometimes what they're doing was the wrong action, but what they were intending to get out of it was the right thing. So maybe we just need to redirect that and talk about appropriateness of response and those kinds of things. So that's my tip. That's a big, long, rambly tip, but ask why.
Well, and all of those usually boil down to one thing is we're busy. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get in that because we're busy. Doctors have to see.
And I'm not picking on doctors either. Oh. I feel like I'm picking on everybody today. I'm not picking on doctors. That's just a really funny excuse.
They've got to hit six patients an hour.
Right.
So that gives them eight total minutes. So they're not getting into symptoms. They're not getting into some of that. And when it comes to our students, you know, you go back and I know we've mentioned on here probably no less than at least one handful of times, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you, that one little question, now you do have to get into the how you're going to deliver that. Like, why did you do that? And they're like, well, you know, that guard goes up. But if you ask with compassion and empathy, then you may get, well, and it was actually mentioned in the legislature. We're talking about, you know, them talking about education, like, well, Johnny's grandmother may have died this week. And here we are getting ready to test them on this. And Johnny's not going to do well.
Right.
And so I think that goes into a lot. So a lot about ed tech burnout. Well, a little bit about ed tech, a little bit about I think we've got into a whole bunch.
We've covered a lot today, probably way more than anybody. If you have stuck with us this long, kudos to you. Let us know.
That's because of the sound effects. They
it
like
is not because
effects.
Of the sound effects. Nobody is hanging out because of your sound effects.
Oh, just wait. They get better.
Oh, no.
As we conclude today, we'd like to say that we always look forward to recording these episodes and engaging with each of you. However, without your feedback, we do not know what you're thinking. So please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can find out all about us on a Perfect Chaos website at www.perfect-chaos.org. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at PerfectChaos7, on Instagram at PerfectChaos7, and Facebook at A Perfect Chaos 7. And you can also follow us on TikTok at Perfect_Chaos_podcast. And you can find us personally at...
I'm at DRR Blevins on Twitter.
And she is done for the evening. she looked
I was highlighting.
She's like, wait, you can find me at DS Blev. If you're following us on the anchor.fm platform, you can hit the message button and send us a voice message.
I was highlighting with life-changing sparkly highlighters. You know what? I think our people want to know. If y'all want to know about life-changing sparkly highlighters, you let me know because I will hook you up. They are amazing.
And you can find her on Twitter at?
At DRR Blevins.
If you're following us on the anchor.fm platform, you can hit the message button and send us a voice message. We'd love to include those messages in our future podcast. Lastly, we've opened the listener support tab on Anchor. If you feel led, you can support the podcast with a small donation, which will be used to expand our podcast capabilities, which are taking us to Murfreesboro this summer. We'll be broadcasting from the Tennessee EMS Educators Association Conference, where we'll be presenting together. So some of those
donations. We may do a podcast while I'm in Sacramento, too.
You can do one while you're in Sacramento.
That one will have to be a Zoom podcast, though, because you're going to be here, and I'm going to be in Sacramento.
That is very true. So,
and then
you can put a donation to help.
I've got multiple Nashville appearances this coming up.
She is going on the speaker circuit, y'all.
Not on the speaker circuit. But if y'all want me to be on the speaker circuit, call me.
But until next week, remain calm in your perfect chaos.